Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith. I'm a business copywriter and blogger here in Orlando and the owner of OrlandoLadyBoss.com. Thank you for listening to the episode. And if you like what you have been hearing and you've been listening to the show, please take a moment to rate me on iTunes and Google Play. That is how other people are able to find the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast so they can hear about all the awesome things that are going on in Orlando and all the awesome women that are making impacts in Orlando. So please share the love. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or on Google Play. Thanks so much. Welcome to episode 23. Today's guest is Jeanette Johnson, who is the owner and blogger at Jay's Everyday Fashion. And Jay's Everyday Fashion has been around for about 7 years now, and I have always just really enjoyed Jeanette's blog. She takes fashion and makes it so approachable, and she's one of the first people I ever saw that was able to do that. And so it was so much fun to have a conversation with her a little bit about that, but really a lot about her new project that she has just been working on, which is a book that is coming out October 3rd. She has a book called Jay's Everyday Fashion and Faith, Personal Style with Purpose. And you can pre-order it on Amazon right now. And if you go into the show notes, you'll be able to find a link for the book. But the episode today, we talk a lot about all the different themes of the book. And I think that this is such a great episode for anybody who really is struggling with two different sides of their personality or who they feel like they are, and they don't know how to put those pieces together. That's a theme that Jeanette really explored in her book, along with all the important questions about what goes along with fashion and why do we consume fashion and how do we consume it more ethically and what goes into it, and is fashion an art form even? It was such a great conversation, and Jeanette's book is so fantastic. She was gracious enough to give me a copy to read, and I really, really encourage you to go out and read the book, share it with your girlfriends, and just really have a discussion around all the different themes in the book. But until then, let's get on to the episode so you can hear a little bit more about our conversation. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me today. And I'm here with Jeanette Johnson, who runs Jay's Everyday Fashion. And she has a book coming out called Jay's Everyday Fashion and Faith, Personal Style with Purpose, which comes out October 3rd.
Woohoo!
Welcome to the show, Jeanette.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do and what Jay's Everyday Fashion is for anyone that may not be familiar with that.
Sure. So Jay's Everyday Fashion, I started it over 7 years ago. We were just talking about how I'm old school, but I'm still around. And my big idea was I heard about the idea of blogging, and I thought, what an amazing opportunity for fashion to become more from the everyday woman's perspective. Because as much as I love fashion magazine, a lot of it's fantasy, right? And I just wanted to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to getting dressed and being on a budget and what that really looks like. And one of my signature things is I take a look a celebrity's wearing and I'll recreate it using what I already own that I've had for years. It's not exact by any means, but the idea is, hey, I can look just as good on a much smaller budget. And it's really just always been about sort of inclusive fashion journalism, whether that means anything. Just everyone is welcome to enjoy fashion to the fullest of their potential is the idea behind it.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to say that I have been a longtime follower of the blog, and I'm not really super deep into fashion, but when I need like inspiration and like ideas and stuff, yours is always the first place I go to. And
yay,
I love the concept
you.
Of like taking like the inspiration picture and going, hey, I don't have everything in my closet. And I know you've talked on your blog, you'll talk about budgeting and like what your fashion budget is and things like that. And it just makes me like rethink what I have in my closet too.
I love that. I'm all about reusing what you already own and just getting really creative and basically just enjoying fashion mm-hmm. on every level. And so that's, I love to hear that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
And you also wear bright colors, which is like, goes to my heart because yes. I've always been like a very bright color girl. And so when I see other people out and they're not wearing any color, I'm just like, why? It hurts me a little bit.
I know. I think people might be like, is it because she's living in Florida? But it's actually the opposite. It's always been my thing. So it makes so much sense that I wound up in Florida.
Yeah.
Because I just totally gravitate towards all rainbow colors. The brighter, mm-hmm. the better. It's totally my thing.
Yeah. I think that we can get away with us bright color lovers get away with it in Florida, where we might
yeah.
get dinged a little bit harder.
I'm in the right state.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on that. So, like I mentioned before, you have a book coming out, and it's coming out October 3rd, and it centers around fashion and faith. And the book starts off with your journey and what it was like for you to come to terms with the two sides of yourself, as how you posed it in the book. Could you tell everybody a little bit about what that journey was like for you?
Yeah, in the short version.
Yeah, the short version. You can read the book to get to the long version.
But essentially, you know, I just grew up in a really conservative household. I basically grew up in Kansas farmland on a dirt mm-hmm. road, and nobody in my family is really into fashion, but also, you know, the values that I grew up with were to be very frugal, to mm-hmm. reuse everything, to conserve energy, to conserve money, and I just did not have anyone in my life modeling fashion at all, mm-hmm. like in any way, shape, or form. And so somewhere along the way, I just got this idea that just not what we spend our time and money on is fashion, mm-hmm. and that I think I associated it strongly with vanity, mm-hmm. and that, you know, ultimately life was about helping other people. But essentially, I had this feeling that, you know, fashion was just sort of off limits. Mm-hmm. But along the way, I can see where at different times in my life, the love for bright colors and for texture and fabrics and all of these things that to me now is my art, right? Mm-hmm. Is this fashion that I love was sort of drawing me from the other side. And I sort of pushed that down over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so it's been sort of an interesting, it was a sort of like a push and a pull mm-hmm. as I grew up and into my early 20s. And really the big changing moment for me was I set a clothing budget because I really needed clothes for my first job mm-hmm. out of college. And within that budget, I discovered that I just absolutely loved fashion, that mm-hmm. I was having the time of my life within that budget, wasn't allowed to guilt myself mm-hmm. within the budget. And I just realized, wow, I really love doing this, which then led to starting a blog a few years later. Mm-hmm. And that blog eventually turned into a full-time career. So then I find myself so deep into the fashion world going, mm-hmm. how did I get to this point? And yeah. feeling guilty at
you
times.
You just ran with right. your passion
now
without
I'm
thinking
it,
about the other side
yeah,
of yourself.
And yeah, and so I'm going, how do I balance these two? Because ultimately those things, the messages that we get as a child are very difficult to unlearn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter what they are, a lot mm-hmm. of times it really takes a concerted effort to sort of get past that.
Yeah.
And I'll say that I think that I definitely worked through a lot of those feelings, but for me, writing this book was sort of the finale, the grand finale, because it forced me to sit down and write out really scary questions on paper mm-hmm. and then answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hugely healing process for me, and it kind of was, like I said, like the big bow at the end, where now I feel like I've answered those questions, and I'm so excited to share that journey with mm-hmm. women who feel that pull, whether it has to do with faith or not. It
yeah.
could just be your personal values
well,
in general.
I'll tell you right now, because I, like I said to you before, I like fashion, but I'm not a connoisseur of it like you are, or how a lot of
how
women
I became.
Are. How you became.
And, wasn't always.
And I am not particularly religious either, but it spoke to me so much. Like, I could relate with it. And I was reading it on a plane on my way to a vacation, and I stop every 10 minutes and poke my husband. I'm like, let me talk to you about this thing.
Oh,
and
I love it.
Yeah, so we would, like, talk about the concepts in the book. And people who've listened on the podcast and some of the things I've talked about here and on the blog, I've gone through, like, that journey a lot, too, of going, where did I come from? What, mm-hmm. you know, what are those things? Do I believe all the values that I learned as a child? And does it go with some of these other things that I'm passionate about and I want to pursue? And they didn't feel like they connected. And it was so nice to see that kind of same journey that someone else has had. Even if the topics are different, I could feel those feelings that you were having, like, while you were explaining them.
Yeah, I think that the word and faith encompasses a lot of different feelings, and mm-hmm. it really, for me, is almost more, if you're the type of woman that just cares at all about your clothing mm-hmm. and caring about inner beauty mm-hmm. and modesty and fair trade clothing and mm-hmm. just even I pose the question, in this broken and hurting world, can we justify any kind of art,
yeah.
including fashion? Like, these are things that we all think about, yeah, and it doesn't have to do...
question.
Yeah, yeah, it like, doesn't have it, to do with any one particular way you grew up. Mm-hmm. I obviously was reflecting on what I grew up with, but mm-hmm. I do so in a way that, you know, I really tried to be very balanced. I don't tell you how to feel about anything. I just mm-hmm. tried to share my story and other stories and sort of give you the two sides of every coin yeah. for you to make the decision where you want to fall.
And I thought that you did, and I personally did while I was reading it, thought that you did a really good job of that because, like I said, those questions are things I think about. And
yeah.
I think about the body positivity part mm-hmm. of it and, like, why do we feel like certain things are okay with our bodies and certain things aren't. And, like, you really kind of go into a lot of those things in the book and... Yeah. It was, yeah, I just really, really enjoyed reading. I know I'm going
to
so gush.
Glad.
I know I'm
so
going to gush, but
this.
I really did.
I love it.
I really did enjoy it. And this book can really be for any woman mm-hmm. who's struggling with, like, what your journey looks like.
Yeah.
And you don't know, and you have two sides of you that you're struggling with yourself, and you're not sure
yeah.
how to get past those things, which I think is very much a universal struggle that
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people have, especially women who are trying to... define themselves in a certain way.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an interesting part of my personality that is just a total rebel, and anything mm-hmm. that quote-unquote society tells us, mm-hmm. I immediately want to question it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you tell me I have to dress this certain way? Or the study that I talked about that says that women who wear makeup earn more money
mm-hmm.
annually, which is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a part of me that really wants to question all of that, mm-hmm. and is very much advocating for, like, the freedom of expression for women, even mm-hmm. within the confines of any
yeah.
religion.
Mm-hmm.
And but also at the same time, I do care about being responsible with it, and
mm-hmm.
I always will, because that's how I was raised, and there's this strong part of me that wants to honor
mm-hmm.
all of those personal values. So it's about, where do you find that balance,
mm-hmm.
right? Because both, I'm very much both.
Mm-hmm.
I want to follow the rules, and I want to break all the rules.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you... I think a lot of people feel that way, though, too.
Yeah,
so
I think so, too.
You know,
it's like you walk this tightrope line of going like, well, I want to break the system because I know it's broken,
yep.
but I know I can't do it on my own. So how do I work within the system to get the things I still
yeah.
want and still be, I like to say, the most me I can be.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So, cause yeah, I'm just an advocate of, like, go out and try to be the best
yeah.
you that you can be, whatever
absolutely.
That is.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys can't already tell, there's definitely, like, a slight feminist vibe in this book.
Yeah,
it's
there
very
definitely
much
is.
Rah-rah girl power. It's definitely a women's issues
mm-hmm.
book, although I did have a couple of guys read it in the
mm-hmm.
development phase, and they really enjoyed it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a book that I see women gathering their friends around and wanting to discuss, like you said, you're
mm-hmm.
poking your husband, wanting to discuss every chapter together
yeah.
because it brings up so many stories and of your own that you're going to want to talk about and work through and say,
yeah.
I never thought about it this way. And, you know, I learned so much writing it that
mm-hmm.
that was really the hope, is that everyone else feels the same reading.
Yeah, I definitely agree that that's something you could totally do with your girlfriends. Get this book out. Read
Open
a chapter.
A bottle of wine.
Yeah, it just...
Have girls' night.
Yeah, because it really is that type of book where you want to discuss it with your friends and
yeah.
you put it in such, like, an easy context of... I would even say one of the things... when you say that it goes towards a feminist angle, that's what I want to do, but it's at the same time you don't want to say feminist because you want to reach those
yeah.
people who, like, they believe in those principles and they struggle with those principles, but they don't want to... for political reasons or anything else, call themselves
yeah,
that
absolutely.
That type of thing. So I think that this is a really good way to have that discussion with friends all across the
mm-hmm.
aisle and not just be like, okay, well, we're going to read heavy feminist theory and then
no,
have this
exactly.
discussion.
I would say it's a very soft,
yeah.
Which tends to just be how I am. I do tend
mm-hmm.
to not use that word to describe myself too
yeah.
often just because it can be... Like many things, even using the label Christian can
yeah.
be painful because it can mean different things to
Thanks.
Different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, faith is a little bit of a nicer but yeah. easier word. Well, or personal style with purpose.
You're telling your story about your faith, but like you said, faith is so different to so many different people and what that encompasses and where they are now mm-hmm. versus where they were when they were kids and things like that. So I totally agree that like it's, you know, it's a way, this book is very much a way for people to talk about things without having like those specific labels. Like, let's lift these labels up and have these conversations.
I love the way you put that. I'm going to use that in my marketing
materials. Go ahead.
Because it really is. So the book was recently featured on InStyle Magazine's website. Mm-hmm. One of their executive editors picked it up on a table mm-hmm. and fell in love with it. And she's Jewish and she mm-hmm. lives in Brooklyn. Could not be more different than me in a mm-hmm. lot of ways. And we had the most amazing enlightened discussion. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, because it really is that kind of discussion where it's like everyone from all walks of life can really come together and talk about these mm-hmm. things because they're universally female and they're universally human.
Yeah.
Right? Like all these things that we all are feeling about getting dressed and mm-hmm. there's deeper issues behind getting dressed, even if it has nothing to do with your faith. There's inner beauty to consider. There's mm-hmm. who made your clothes. There's, I mean, mm-hmm. there's just everything. How much money am I going to spend on it?
Yeah.
Get that gets touchy. Like it's just, yeah. I love it. Anybody can talk about it.
It's one of those things. It's the way that people make impressions of you. It's one of the few ways that people make that snap. You know, it's your clothing for women, if they have makeup on, it's how you style your hair. Those are like the things that you're presenting out into the world. So it is how you are letting people know who you are on a snap judgment type level.
I think that's chapter 3, I mm-hmm. say, is mm-hmm. fashion necessary? Because after droning on for 2 chapters about whether we can argue to have art stay in the world mm-hmm. with so many wars going on, I mm-hmm. get to the point of, well, why don't we just not do fashion if it's such a hard question? And I basically come to the conclusion that we can't not do it because society requires us on some level. There's a dress code for everything. Mm-hmm. And while I'm all about breaking the system, like you said, the system's broken and mm-hmm. I'm all about fixing it. I go into that hard discussion too about how much do we give in and how much do we try to fix it? And when do we play along mm-hmm. to get ahead? It's fascinating. Yeah. I don't have all the answers. That's why I wrote the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
It poses a lot of questions.
It does. It
tells a lot of stories.
It is a thinker. It is definitely a thinker. And, you know, one of the other things you speak about in the book is how fashion is your vocation. And it was a way for you to express your creativity in a way to honor God. Do you have advice to other creatives who are trying to make their career from their creativity? Because you have been talking about how you talked about fashion as art, and I love that because I have like discovered my creativity in a lot of different avenues in the last year, and I struggled a lot with saying to myself for years, not a creative person.
Oh,
and
me too. So long.
Yeah, for so long, I was like, I'm not a creative person. I don't do anything creative. And now that I've embraced it, it's just like it's all over the place. Like just this morning, I was like, I think I need to do some painting or drawing again, and like no one will see that stuff, but I just need to like
do it. I love it. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I will say absolutely go out and get Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Okay.
And The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. Mm-hmm. They're similar. Stephen Pressfield's book's much older. Elizabeth Gilbert's is more recent. And both of them talk about, especially Elizabeth Gilbert, how she loves the art of writing, and she loves it in such a genuine, passionate way that even if your creativity has nothing to do with writing, like mine's fashion or it can be painting or mm-hmm. whatever it is, mm-hmm. you can just relate to the healthy way she sort of reveres her art, but also has healthy boundaries in order for her to be able to do it as a vocation. Because I definitely think it's a tricky balance. It's one that I'm still working through myself, because there has to be, I think, this sort of passion for what you do has to be protected in a way when mm-hmm. it's turned into a vocation, or you're, you know, selling your paintings or something along those lines. It can cloud that a little bit, the joy. And so it's a matter of being fiercely protective of the things that you love so much and the reasons you love it mm-hmm. and putting up boundaries for yourself, whatever that means, to mm-hmm. make sure that you're protecting that joy, because the joy is where the authenticity is, right?
Gotcha.
Like I think there are times, it's, you know, I've been blogging a long time. There are years I go back and you can tell I was sort of not as into the fashion at the time, and I was mm-hmm. sort of pushing through it, and it just doesn't come out as well.
Yeah.
And then there are times in my life where you could absolutely see that I'm just exuding joy mm-hmm. through fashion. And that's when people really want to read it, and I understand that, mm-hmm. you know, like, there's a total authenticity to that, because it's like, I don't really care at the end of the day if anyone else is enjoying this, I'm enjoying it, and you mm-hmm. sort of have to own it in that way and have all these amazing healthy boundaries that Elizabeth Gilbert talks about way better than I ever could.
Yeah, well,
her book is amazing.
I think it sounds like, to me, one of the things I've kind of noticed, because I feel like I'm maybe, like, way, you're, like, way further along on that journey of, like, discovering your artistic creation and everything, yeah. is this kind of just building that little trust circle around you mm-hmm. to kind of be creative in and kind of, like, push it out and go, what do you guys think? And just get, like, a little bit of pop. I know it sounds like it's stroking an ego or something like that, but it's, like, just to get that, like, little bit of, like, confidence yeah. to kind of keep going and then show it to the next round of people, the next circle out yeah. where you can go a little bit more and a little bit more. And some people might jump off the deep end and just have the confidence for that. But
I absolutely love that approach. And I think ultimately there's a million different ways to skin a cat.
Totally is.
But I have on my blog what I call the audacity to enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. So I basically tell this story. I think it's in the book too, mm-hmm. that I was singing really loudly one day across the house for the heck of it. And I told my husband, I just want you to know I have no misgivings about my talent. I'm not mm-hmm. planning to audition mm-hmm. for The Voice anytime soon. I have a terrible singing voice. I just really like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much fun for me. And I realized in that moment that that's how I feel about fashion too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that I'm necessarily that talented at it. I really don't care if anyone likes it or thinks that I'm talented at yeah. it. But I just enjoy it so darn much that I'm like, I'm just going to keep doing it. And it's that audacity to enjoy myself and sort of not caring
mm-hmm.
if it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, quote yeah. unquote, good. In anyone else's eyes,
uh-huh.
or even in my eyes, because sometimes I'll post outfits and I'm like, except this didn't go so well.
You enjoy it.
But I enjoy it.
Yeah, you enjoy the process, you enjoy the output, yes. you enjoy whatever it is that yeah. you, and this is for anyone, I'm sure, listening, whatever that thing is that makes you enjoy it and want to do it again, yeah. you hold on to that feeling, regardless of what anyone thinks about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But you're right, I have had a lot of practice.
Yes.
It's been a hot minute since I've been blogging. I was blogging 7 days yeah. a week for the first 4 years.
So that's a lot of outfits. Yeah, that is a lot of outfits. Now, you
and
know.
My closet is not as big as you think it is. That's the next. I know where this is going. They're like, oh, our closet must be huge. It is huge by many standards of many countries, but it is not as big as you think it is. I promise.
So you're talking about blogging for 7 years, and you're talking about expressing your art, and you kind of do it in a very public forum. And so sharing your story online, I think that was one thing that I was really afraid about when I first started doing some of this, was like putting myself out there, sharing myself. What happens if someone says something mean to me? How am I going to handle it? And I know that you've dealt with some of that stuff online. Just a little bit. And you know, what kind of advice, because I think it's important for women to be sharing their stories, whatever mm-hmm. it is your story is, you should be sharing it however you feel comfortable in, but I think sometimes there's those of us that need to be louder with our stories so more mm-hmm. more people can hear it, which means there's pushback. So how do you deal with the pushback? When what have you done to help yourself deal with it over the time, being a public figure, being out there?
Well, I think that this is literally, like, do we have 3 hours? Because this is, like, the longest, you know, I feel like I might have another book on this subject, because it's the number one thing people ask me.
Well, Jen Vargas, the first thing she told me was, you need to talk to Jeanette Johnson about...
This is true. I wrote a blog post in 2012 about mm-hmm. online bullying, and that's a long time ago, yeah. and it's still the number one thing people bring up to me when they meet me, which yeah. is, I'm like, hey, whatever floats your boat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a very raw, real post. I think mm-hmm. that, I'm sure, stuck in people's minds. But I'll say it's probably time for an updated post on what I did, part two. But I'd say that having healthy boundaries is, like, the number one thing. There's this sort of terrible thing that comes with boundaries, and that you will be labeled a B-word. Mm. Like, if you mm-hmm. are being healthy mm-hmm. and saying no to things you need to say no to, or not inviting certain people to the commenting party because yeah. they're being inappropriate, mm-hmm. they will flip out on you. Mm-hmm. And it turns into, then you have to deal with that. And you have to get to a point where you're like, I don't care how much of a B word you think I am. I'm having healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
Everyone needs them. It is what it is. So the boundaries helped immensely, because mm-hmm. basically what I did is I just turned on comment moderation and wiped out the group that was causing such issue on my blog. I was like, I should have done this 2 years ago, you mm-hmm. know? So that was simple but really helpful, is just mm-hmm. having your boundaries. And I think another one is having a support system. You touched on that earlier. But just having somebody to read a comment and say, am I being crazy or is this mm-hmm. rude? Or what do you think? Or is there another way that they could mean it? Because mm-hmm. I really try to read it from, it's hard to detect tone online. Yeah. So I'll have somebody else read it, and 99% of the time they're like, oh my gosh, no, don't publish that. You know, mm-hmm. like, that's horrible. But just in case, because mm-hmm. you want to make sure you're not being, like, yeah, you're sensitive.
Still, you're still trying to be fair to the totally. Person.
Yeah, so I think having, for sure, now all my comments, if I don't, I never get negative comments, actually, anymore, mm-hmm. because I think people have given up. They know I'm not going to publish them.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's any ounce of constructive criticism in there and it's not just vitriol, then I'm mm-hmm. totally going to publish it, because mm-hmm. I want to have that discussion. You know, I open up a lot of really big questions in this book, and it's like, I want to be having deeper conversations about fashion. A lot of my blog is fluff, which I love fluff. Mm-hmm. It puts a smile on people's faces. Mm-hmm. There's a yeah. time and a place for fluff.
Of course.
But I would love to get into bigger, deeper conversations, and a lot of times the comments are reflective of the fluff. It's just more, it's like, mm-hmm. this looks great, or I'm going to buy it, which is great. But I'm like, I just really want to get deeper. Mm-hmm. And so...
But that is, you know, part of, like, being vulnerable and sharing your story, writing a book and things like that. And that's important, but I think that you going through, where you say, your fluff area,
yes.
you know, and kind of understanding where the boundaries are there, so then you can mm-hmm. have the space for you to actually have
yes.
a deeper conversation with your fan base, mm-hmm. with new people are coming in who are affected by it. Because I think that anyone who's putting things out into the world, they're doing it because they want to have a conversation around the things that they're talking about.
So I think if someone is like, all her comments are fluff, she's not going to approve my mm-hmm. comment. Like, I'm, like, challenge mm-hmm. what I'm saying, by all means, on a deeper level. I'm totally okay with that. Like, I want to have those discussions. Mm-hmm. But I think people have a hard time sort of determining between their own nastiness and mm-hmm. what's actually constructive criticism sometimes. Because mm-hmm. They may not be reading it in the same tone other people are reading it, for example. But yeah, I would, like I said, we could talk about this for like 3 hours, but those would be my top two tips.
Well, I think that talking about boundary setting can work for you, even if you're in a space where you're not sharing your mm-hmm. story with everybody out into the internet, because in the idea of setting your boundaries then makes you a bee, like you said,
yes.
and I know that I have felt that I'm setting my boundary. And I know that, like, this is good for me, because I know if I let whatever that influence in, it's going to hurt me ultimately. Mm-hmm. But because I'm setting that boundary, I know I'm coming off in a certain way to that person or that those people or whatever. And I have to just be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, can we not all think right now of a time that a woman told us, no, I can't meet with you, I can't do this, or in some way made us feel like, they put up their boundary, and we were like, oh, what a B word. Like, mm-hmm. I've totally been guilty of thinking mm-hmm. that about other people. And then it's like, well, back up a second. Like, I don't know what's going on in her life. She could be going through something terrible and just doesn't have time to meet with mm-hmm. me. You know, there's like, it's so easy to like go right there for some mm-hmm. reason. So I'm always like, hey, think whatever you need to think, but I have to have this boundary. The boundaries are, you just have to be like, so stuck on them, and it helps
but
immensely.
I think when you're stronger with your own boundaries, you understand when other people are setting their boundaries around you too. So like, even if you have that thought, you can have the forethought of going like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be thinking about that.
Totally. It's like the initial thought, and then you're like, wait, no, she's probably
just busy, right. has her own stuff,
but
whatever.
It's interesting that we like, I don't know, instinctually go there sometimes. Like, it's interesting, part of a human nature for sure.
It definitely is. You also talked about how fashion helped you come out of your shell. Do you think it was the clothes themselves that did it, or do you think it was the creative outlet expressed through the clothes that helped you come out of your shell? And what are other ways people could do this in similar ways?
In the book, I talk about a story in college where dressing up in a fun way sort of got me over this hump of being a little bit socially awkward. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is definitely some magic that happens when you put on a pretty dress and your hair's falling in all the right places and mm-hmm. your makeup looks perfect and you just feel beautiful. there's like something really magical about that that I think is really special and that really goes much deeper than just the outside. Mm-hmm. Even though it is an outside transformation, there's something about that that truly does feel great, right?
I agree with you. I liked how you kind of put that feeling together in a way of like, it's not shameful to feel that because it's happening.
Exactly. So I think that there was a little bit of that going on in college where I was just felt like the outside was coming together because I'd never spent any real time on it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, this is really neat. But I talk about in detail how there's the gift of inner beauty, if you can picture it as like an actual gift. And if you've cultivated a gift that's worth far more than rubies is what I call it, then that outer wrapping is a celebration of that. So I think it's, you know, might be like a temporary thing that gets you through an awkward situation, but ultimately there's a relationship there. And if you truly feel like your inner beauty is going well on the inside, then that's really kind of a beautiful reflection of that on the outside. Like you're going to, if you have a beautiful gift you're presenting to someone, you're going to want to wrap it in a nice bow. Mm-hmm. I say, you're not going to want to wrap it in newspaper and smear it with dog poo. That's literally the example I use in the book. So it's like a celebration of that, but it's really, you know, that's just one sort of example. It goes on and on in the book because mm-hmm. it's this really fascinating relationship with us affecting the outside of our clothes and the clothes affecting the person. Mm-hmm. Like it's this two-way street and there's a lot of communication that happens there within yourself. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting to dig into.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's the whole, I think it goes into like this deeper idea of taking care of yourself. If you're feeling mm-hmm. good about yourself, then you're going to take care of yourself and yes. however that looks like. Mm-hmm. And that will help you feel better on the inside, which then makes you people see it on the outside, however that's absolutely. Expressed through you.
And the opposite side of mm-hmm. that is if you've got a box of rocks that mm-hmm. you're presenting to someone and you put this fancy bow and mm-hmm. wrapper on it, that is just doesn't last very long. Mm-hmm. Like people will see right through that. You will not feel great about it because mm-hmm. once the bow is off, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And I think all of us, again, we know this, and there's not a lot of people out there that are even operating that way, but mm-hmm. I think sometimes we think the fancy wrapper only is on empty boxes and it's just not true.
Yeah.
You know, it can be reflective of how great you're feeling inside yeah. and how confident and how, you know, the gift yeah. inside is so beautiful. Why not put a bow on it?
Yeah. Some of the stuff that you're talking about this is a conversation that goes along on in my house a lot because my husband is very much like of that, you don't need makeup and I don't care you wear and da, 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 da. And like, I think you look beautiful anyways. And I'm like, yeah, but this isn't about you. It's about me love and what it. I want to do. And like, you know, and he's very much like, well, makeup's not feminist or it's not this or that. And I'm like, how is just expressing yourself and however you want to express yourself? Like we have all yes. of these conversations around like, why are things that women enjoy considered less than? And I feel like fashion and makeup and any type of like, guilty pleasure, quote unquote, that people yeah. have kind of falls into that category. And you shouldn't be ashamed of the things that you like because you like them. And I just have a problem with people getting on others' cases about the things that make them happy.
Amen to that. I just did almost like a little sneak peek of the book on the blog because mm-hmm. it was on my heart mm-hmm. where I shared about if you're into sports and you're wearing the team colors and you've painted your face elaborately and you're going to games, that is a hobby I don't completely understand. Mm-hmm. But I'm committed to respecting that because I ask for the same respect for my own hobby, yeah. which is fashion and clothes. And this basically came because a guy somehow wound up on my Facebook page and told me it was ridiculous that women were concerning themselves with clothing and makeup. And I was just like, how did you get here? It's like so random.
Yeah, like, but I just, did your wife like something?
Yeah, it was like this angry is over weird. But I just thought, I talk about this in the book that, you know, if you've got a home chef that has a huge wine collection, it's just not judged the same way as someone who has 100 pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
It's just not. And I really want to change that because I think that if a woman's spending money responsibly on something that brings her joy, it just does not matter what it is.
Yeah.
It can be sports. It can be cooking. It can be scrapbooking. It can be anything.
Yeah.
And it does not have to equal vanity, for example. Like, I draw a very distinct line, and I even give some questions to ask yourself and whether or not it has anything to do with that. And because I really think it can be an art form for women, and mm-hmm. that gets confused. The lines are very blurred. I think for me, I didn't completely understand my relationship with fashion for a long time and didn't know how to describe it. For example, I've always been the type, like, I go to the grocery store all the time with absolutely no makeup on and, like, workout clothes. Mm-hmm. And it almost seemed weird to me. I'm like, I certainly don't care about looking good because I go out in public looking crazy all the time. But at the same time, I'm drawn to fashion and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend say to me, I just really think it's more of an art form for you. Like, mm-hmm. you appreciate it in those moments that you want to spend time on it, but it's not, I have to look a certain way. There's it's very two different, you know, yeah. camps. Mm-hmm. You could be doing it because you feel like you need to look a certain way, which is not wrong necessarily. Mm-hmm. If you're going to a wedding, you feel like yeah. I need to wear makeup, for example. Mm-hmm. But it's also can be nothing to do with that, where it's just because it comes from this inner joy. And I think there's yeah. something very specific about feminine nature and mm-hmm. women that we were born to with this innate desire to decorate ourselves and mm-hmm. our surroundings. Mm-hmm. We just love beauty. Mm-hmm. We exude beauty. Mm-hmm. We're like the definition of beauty, and it's in the fiber of our being in some way or another. Mm-hmm. Everyone's different.
Yeah.
And that should be celebrated.
Yeah. I think that what you touched on is, I think when you're sitting down and going, why am I doing something, regardless of what it is, am I doing it to... because I love it, or am I doing it totally. For someone else, you know? And so as you're doing these things and you're going, what is my motivation for doing this thing? Those are the questions you need to be asking yourself instead of feeling shameful for liking something that yeah. you enjoy doing. Because yeah. I see that so much, especially among women, where like, you're just ashamed of like the thing that you like to do.
Yeah.
And why? Like, happiness and joy. I was there for a while. Yeah.
But I'd meet people and I'd be like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. And they'd be like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, I have a website. And then they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's about fashion. Like, I was like, so for the longest time, it was just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, I just had those messages from childhood so deeply ingrained in my head that I just had this source of discomfort that I needed to apparently write a book about because I was so uncomfortable about it.
Get out.
It's actually great business mm-hmm. advice. Write a book about whatever makes you uncomfortable because I think good things come out of that.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. I grew. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. That's good to know. I think that, writing out your feelings in like whatever form mm-hmm. is like an extremely just therapeutic exercise regardless.
Totally.
So, yeah, so if you're not doing it,
public journaling.
Yeah, public journaling. I know us writers here are like, just write and share your story with everybody. We'll read it. just email me. I'll read your story. So what is the number one piece of advice that you give people?
So I have, if you ever heard me speak publicly, you probably heard me say this, or if someone's mm-hmm. asked in a Q&A, I think that there's this impression like, you know, obviously I'm doing blogging full time and a lot of people want that as a career now, mm-hmm. which makes sense. It's an awesome career. Mm-hmm. Totally get that. I think there's this sort of tendency though, to look at it as, wow, she's arrived mm-hmm. and, or me looking at someone else, you know, the Beyonce of blogging, for example, mm-hmm. like she's arrived. That must feel wonderful. And I always like to say that success feels like a million little steps that are going absolutely nowhere. Success feels like you're scaling a mountain every single day, and then occasionally, maybe like twice a year, you might win an award or you get some great interview or something happens to you, and you'll take a second and look out and go, my goodness, I'm so high up. I had no idea that I had scaled this mountain. But I'm telling you that 99% of the time, it just feels like hard work. Like, and that's it. And that's why you have to find the joy in the journey mm-hmm. and in the work and love what you're doing the way that's the only way I could have kept going because mm-hmm. that's always the thing that draws me back mm-hmm. is because I just love the work so much.
Well, it's so funny that you say that too, because I was listening to you at the end of a session a few weeks ago when you were speaking at Blogger, and you almost almost that advice. I know I snuck in at the end of your session and someone kind of asked you a similar question to
they
that
did.
And you said last year you kind of gave yourself a deadline because you were feeling a little disconnected from it, and
it's just if you do anything mm-hmm. for at that point it was 6 years, it's bound to get repetitive. Mm-hmm. I for me just anything, no matter how fun it is, I was like, something about what I'm doing needs to change. And mm-hmm. I gave myself a deadline by the end of 2016. I had to have it figured out, what I called Act Two. I said, this is the year of Act Two. Mm-hmm. And by the beginning of March, I had my answer, and it was this book. And for me, it was, I think, this feeling of, now I understand it as that the blog is a lot of fluff, which, again, I love fluff. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I really need to go deeper, especially after all these years. I have got to go deeper or I'm going to go nuts. Like, mm-hmm. I just, for my own sanity, like, these are things that the blog was founded on, like these principles mm-hmm. about spending money. And they shine through occasionally, but it's like, I need to have this discussion on a deeper level and to be doing things and events where I could be talking about this instead mm-hmm. of just fluff mm-hmm. or just about the business side of blogging, which I get asked to speak about the most, mm-hmm. but like to open up this whole new conversation and to have mm-hmm. like a reason for all of it. And that was my answer. It came within a month. Sometimes you just got to put it out yeah. in the universe. This mm-hmm. is a month and a half later. I'm like, this is my answer.
Well, I think that you being open about saying that and kind of saying, hey, you know, I'm 6 or 7 years along and now I'm having to reevaluate like where I am, what I want to do. You know, is this the place where I want to keep going? And right before this conversation, we started recording, I was talking about another blogger that started years and years and years ago, doesn't exist anymore. Oh. And she kind of quit.
So she like exists, every, but not the blog.
Not the blog. The blogger is still around. I know, that was funny. The blog doesn't exist anymore.
She disappeared yes, yeah. in a poof of air.
But yeah, the blog doesn't, yeah. the blog's not around.
Yeah, she stopped.
She decided to, like, move on. Mm-hmm. So, it's just one of those things where you're like, you have to take time in your in different points of your life and decide where are your priorities at. What do you want to yeah. do? What do you value now? And it might not be the same thing you were doing yeah. forever.
Well, and I think another reason, which I talk about in depth in the book, is that for me, the mission statement of my blog has always been budget fashion. And mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy that that was revolutionary in 2010, but if we can think back retro 2010.
I know, I'm sitting here trying to think about, like, was, like budget fashion really
It was really not cool.
Yeah.
Like, celebrities weren't wearing budget stuff yet. Target wasn't doing all their collaborations.
That's true.
Like, it was not okay. Like, well, that's not cool
if you're on a budget. Well, I was even thinking, too, like, plus size fashion has, like, grown so much.
Oh, my gosh,
it
has.
Within that time
Absolutely.
Period, too.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I feel like they were almost, like, doing a similar.
Going along in the same. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, after 6 years, I just kind of went, my mission statement is not even that relevant anymore because mm-hmm. when I started, I think partly why it took off is because, at least for me, I couldn't find anyone else blogging about budget fashion.
It filled a gap at the time.
Yeah, so it just becomes less exciting because you're like, why am I on the soapbox about budget fashion? Like, no, literally nobody cares anymore. Like, that's mm-hmm. just commonplace. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, what am I even doing anymore? Like, what's my mission statement? And I realized that in my own life, I had gone through a couple of really cool, gone on a couple of trips and learned some things about, like, fair trade fashion, for example, and realized that I really think that my journey makes more sense and is naturally occurring for me to mm-hmm. be talking more about the deeper issues of fashion, like inner beauty and fair trade and, like, all these mm-hmm. deeper things. And when we did the discovery for the book proposal, there's never been a book written about fashion and faith, which is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Because it's such a normal, like, it's not, again, I feel like, yeah. are we at this point, like, 2010, where you're all like, mm-hmm. why is this not out there yet? Yeah. And maybe in 7 years, there'll be, like, 100 books about it, and yeah. that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But I just sort of felt like this natural, like, I'm changing, and I don't feel as, you know, I still am all about being on a budget. Trust mm-hmm. me, that's lifelong journey right there. Mm-hmm. But I'm also caring more and more about who made my clothes and some of the deeper things about clothing and how long they last. And you learn a lot about yourself and dressing as you enter your 30s. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of natural things that happen. So it just felt like I've really got to sort of, I'm not completely changing lanes, but it's just like, it's a natural.
It feels like you're expanding your universe.
It is a little bit, but it's just a natural progression mm-hmm. into the things that make sense and that are interesting me and that I feel like we should be talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would love to talk to you even further about all of these other things, about fair trade fashion and all those things, because those things are things that I follow also, but I'm going to have to end it there.
I know.
And we'll have to have you back again, and you guys can read more about her views in her book that comes out October 3rd.
Yeah.
And
you can actually it's on Amazon now, so you can pre-order it, but they won't ship until
October. Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you. But, so yeah. Where can they find, so pre-order the book, where can they find you on the internet?
My website and all my social handles are the same. They're JS Everyday Fashion. So there's also a link, pretty easy link to my book right on my homepage, or you can go to Instagram or Facebook and follow
Awesome. There. And I'll put all the links on the bottom of the show notes.
Amazing.
So you guys can click right over on the blog and get it there. But thank you so much, Jeanette.
Thank you so much for having me and for your enthusiasm about the book. It makes me so happy. You're one of the first people to ever read it, so this is like much fun. Yeah. You're like a very few handful of like press people and not a lot of people.
Well, wonderful. Yeah. Well, because I like to know, like, the people that I'm talking to and, like, what it is that they're talking about. And I found this, like, such a rich conversation. So thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on Orlando Lady Boss. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to check us out on iTunes, where you can download all of our episodes, or on Google Play. And if you're enjoying what you're listening to, please, please give us a rating on iTunes or Google Play. That is how other people discover us and find out more about us. Also, you can check out the blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and on there you can find all types of stuff about feminism and women-owned businesses and how to make an impact in your own world. And you can sign up for the monthly email list, where I'll give you news and updates on things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Orlando Lady Boss. And you can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. And if you are a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, make sure you hashtag it with #OrlandoLadyBoss. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your own world.